Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words mean the world to me, and that's why I'm so thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm super excited to have on the show Joe Hicks. Raised in the rural market town of Newbury, England, Joe blends pop, blues, and folk influences, combining intricate guitar compositions with classic pop songcraft.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. So, it seems like maybe you like the guitar. Is that your instrument of influence there?
Massively. I definitely still see myself as a guitar player who sings a bit rather than the other way around.
Okay. And obviously, I'm sure one of the first things people talk about is your accent, right? Especially us idiots here in America. So is that a good thing for you? Is it a bad thing? Like, what kind of feedback do you get from people?
I think, yeah, I don't know. I used to live in Boston, so I got used to the kind of reaction of Americans to my accent. And I do like, it's nice to have people kind of react positively just to a simple way of speaking. But I haven't been over to tour in America just yet, so I haven't seen that kind of in a live setting. But yeah, it's definitely nice.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about, when was that magical first moment that you picked up the guitar?
It was, in my elementary school, to use your term, there's a teacher who came around and did a little assembly with all his students, and I was watching in the audience, and I thought, wow, this is something I want to do. And I think I just remember the first few years of playing guitar, I just didn't put it down. My dad always says that he had to tell me to stop playing guitar sometimes to watch a bit of TV because he thought it was getting a bit crazy. So I was definitely addicted early on.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to ask a really dumb question. Were you influenced by the Beatles at all?
Yeah, absolutely. My parents are kind of that age where I was subjected to a lot of the Beatles, massively.
Yeah, I'm a fan, obviously, and I've been influenced by them too. So, just given your accent, where you're from, you know, and kind of the kind of music you do, I thought I'd ask.
No, I appreciate it. I'm in that kind of part of the world at the moment. We're on tour, and I'm in Manchester, but obviously from Liverpool. But there's a lot of great bands from this part of England.
Yeah, for sure. So, what was your fondest musical memory in your house, in your neighborhood, just growing up? What do you think?
What do I think of? My dad is not a professional musician, but he plays a lot of folk instruments like melodeon and harmonica, and he used to take me to pubs when I was quite young, and there'd be kind of folk sessions on where everyone would bring an instrument and each person would take it in turns to play songs and we'd all join in. And that's what I vividly remember from childhood, is just being exposed to the idea that you just have to turn up and play.
If you had a 12-year-old next door to you that picked up the guitar and kind of got the bug or the fever, what kind of advice would you give him?
I would say little and often. Obviously, lots and often is great, but I think people get kind of bogged down by, like, to make any progress on the guitar, you have to spend hours and hours and hours. And I think that the people who touch base with their guitar every day or every couple of days really, really kind of fall in love with it and make progress. So that would be my advice, is just keep it somewhere where you can pick it up regularly and play off.
Okay, great advice, Joe. How do you balance what you're doing, your music, with other obligations like your maid, children, job, anything else going on?
I'm very lucky in that I've kind of made music as a whole umbrella my career. That takes different forms in different periods of time between touring. I do a bit of teaching, and but most of it is guitar related. So I'm kind of always thinking in a musical sense. I think that's the best way to answer that.
Okay. What kind of teaching do you do?
I do a bit of classical guitar teaching. I do a bit of pop guitar teaching. Basically, anything that's from my background, I teach.
Okay. What's the typical week like for you?
Typical week. Definitely changes depending on the time of the year and if touring's happening. But quite a lot of the time, I'm trying to spend the first half of every day music related. And what by that I mean, a lot of being an artist, and as I'm sure you know, is kind of admin and social media these days. And I found that if I push that to the second half of the day, then I at least touch base with the guitar, because I think it's very easy to get bogged down in emails and social media and stuff, and then suddenly you realize you haven't played any music. So that's what I'm focusing on at the moment, is splitting the day up like that.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That tortures me when I go a few days without playing something or without.
Yeah.
At one point, I think I had gone like a month or 6 weeks without playing the piano, and it's easy in Logic and these computer programs to just, you know, move notes around and kind of do it digitally, but
yeah,
there's nothing like playing, and it just tortures me. You know, it's really hard to find time for everything, and I totally understand what you're talking about.
Well, I hope that drought has come to an end.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So, who are your influences musically?
I think whenever I get asked this question, I would say that singer-songwriters predominantly who have interesting stuff going on in the music. So I love Sting, I love Paul Simon. I fell in love with John Mayer when I was about 19, 20, because somebody gave me a DVD of his, and that was the first time I'd kind of seen someone blend great musicality with kind of pop songwriting, and I fell in love with that. And that extends to James Taylor and people like that. A lot of kind of guitar heroes that have found a way to write great songs as well.
Yeah, I think John Mayer is, you've got to totally respect what he's done. He's a great influence, I think.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, tell us about your songwriting process. How do you get started? Is it a guitar lick? Do you have a melody? How do you do it?
Maybe it's the same for you, but I definitely lead from the guitar. If I stumble upon something that I find interesting or exciting on the guitar, and then the key point is if I'm able to kind of write an initial vocal melody over the top, then that kind of gives me the green light to keep going. And I tend to write the guitar, which leads to the melody, and then the melody will guide subsequent sections of the melody. And then I'll try and tap into what gibberish lyrics I'm singing and see if I've got any kind of subconscious meaning, and then I'll flesh out the lyrics last. That's what tends to happen most of the time.
Yeah, I totally get that. Tell us about this song we're going to hear. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it?
Sail Away is, it was actually inspired by my producer, Sam Winfield, who, on a musical side, he was writing his own solo record, and I'd gone into the studio and he said, oh, I've written a song that I think is my track one. And I started to think about, oh, what's a track one on an album? Like, what? How does that feel like? And kind of went home that evening and kind of stumbled across the chord progression that opens the song. And it really felt like a way to launch the beginning of the album I was working on. And then just, again, with that same process, as the music got fleshed out and the melody came in, I felt like it was quite a euphoric way of summing up the album, which is like things are quite uncertain for me at the moment with where I'm at in my career, and COVID was happening at the time, and it was kind of a way of saying, well, regardless of all of this and anything that happens in my life and career, it's all I really need is friends and family and the love around me that keeps me going.
Okay, cool man. All right, tell you what, let's take a listen, then we'll come back and talk some more. Okay, Joe,
thank you very much.
Okay, everybody, check this out. Joe Hicks, here we go. I don't know if I will run across. Joe, thank you for sharing that with us. That was a very cool song, man. Very vibey.
Thank you very much indeed.
What do you have planned? What are you working on? Any surprises for the fans?
Well, I've just 10 days ago put out the deluxe version of my album, which is kind of a reimagining of four or five of the songs, which is something that I'm excited for people to hear now and get that into the world. There's some acoustic versions of Sail Away, which you just heard, and Mirror Mirror, and a couple of others. And then this is kind of my way of signing off the album cycle before I go and start to work on the next one. And I'm quite excited about like what I can show people next. I think that I've spent so long in my headspace of this album and wanting people to hear it, and getting out and touring it makes you kind of feel out how the songs feel live, and I've started to long for certain other grooves and feelings and songs that I don't yet have, so it makes me excited to make the next album, I think.
Yeah, for sure. What are like the typical mistakes you think people make when trying to pursue a career like this?
Oh, I definitely don't think I have all the answers to that, but I'd say I think probably what we were saying earlier, maybe spending all your time on the social media side. I think that is more important than ever, and the pressure to make it really important, I think, can sometimes put you off balance, and it definitely has with me at times. I think that you've got to get really efficient with that and not make it everything you do all day. Really stay connected to the music, because ultimately if you're going to promote stuff online, it's got to be the best music you can possibly make. I think I did that with the album that's kind of why we called it the best I could do at the time, because I kind of went a bit tunnel vision with it. So I think it's striking a balance between what you need to do to promote yourself. We were only talking about this with a friend the other night. I know a few artists who are truly brilliant musicians, great vocalists, should be massive, but they totally neglect the business side, or would self-admittedly be not fantastic. So I think it's finding a balance with that, or at least finding people that can help you on that side. It's quite a music businessy answer, but I think that's maybe what we were looking for.
I totally understand that. What do you think is, if you had to do it all over again, is there one thing you would do differently?
I think that I am not very naturally a someone who kind of likes to share stuff. I think this is kind of a social media thing again, but I think I should have, earlier on, I would have started kind of really kind of putting my stuff out there with a lot more enthusiasm. I kind of came into this a bit nervously, a bit tentatively, and I think that just being confident to show who you are and not try and mold yourself to what you think people want. I think the things that have happened good, positively for my music in the past couple of years have been when I've really just shown off who I am and the music I really want to make, and not hidden any part of my personality.
Okay. Do you have a favorite 80s jam or 90s jam, whatever decade you prefer?
Favorite jam? Interesting. I suppose I could spend forever trying to think of the perfect answer, but I'll say that we were just driving into Manchester with I've got my band out with me, and we were just listening to a load of old kind of mid-2000s emo music, which I was definitely listening to when I was a teenager. So I will say right now, last song we listened to was At the Drive-In, One Armed Scissor. We'll go for it.
So if you had to look at your musical career, do you kind of look at yourself as evolving? Are you going to be putting out the same genre, the same style? Or is there some kind of curve up ahead that you want to take?
I think a couple of years ago, I would have said that I wouldn't have been able to see a kind of a curveball. I think that I will always have the guitar involved in some form. But I think I've got a little bit of hunger now to step slightly outside of my comfort zone on a production sense. And I'm excited about how that can combine with the guitar kind of sounds that I love and that I've been showcasing on this album. So yeah, I think that I'd like to evolve. I think that's the only way to continue to make albums that hopefully people want to hear. And I definitely feel that that's where my heart's taking me now.
Okay. One of the questions I love to ask people is about scams. So is there some kind of scam you want to warn us all about? Something you might have fallen for so we can protect each other?
I've never been asked that. What a great question that is. I would say that the internet is a scary place. I think that I learned that a bit recently. I've had a couple of fake Joe Hicks profiles be set up, and I've had messages from people saying, oh, I've been messaged by this profile pretending to be you. And I think it's just about, I'm not sure how you can avoid that, but I think you can make it very clear where you're communicating with your fans. And I don't know, I think it's getting more and more crazy now. My parents are getting a little older, and they check in with me and get me to screen their emails to see what they think is a scam or not, what I think is a scam or not. So it's getting a little bit harder to work it out. I think you've just got to be vigilant and really not speed click through anything you think looks normal. I don't know. That's a great question. I'm struggling to get a great answer.
Yeah. All right. No problem. Okay. Tell us about your website. Where can people buy your stuff, stream it, follow you on socials, whatever you want to mention?
Thank you very much. You can find all of my music. Everything is all linked on joehicksmusic.com, and then all of my socials are joehicksmusic. I'm on Spotify, I'm on Apple Music, all the places that you would listen to music. And then I've got kind of vinyls and CDs available as well.
Okay, awesome, man. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was an absolute pleasure. And any parting words for the fans? Any last minute thoughts?
Well, all I'll say is thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity. And to people listening, keep listening to Sorantos and checking out these awesome interviews. I love the questions. It was really good to talk to you.
Okay, awesome, Joe. It was really great to talk to you. And to all the listeners out there, thank you for spending a little bit of your precious time with the two of us. My name is Sorantos. We hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. Thank you so much for listening. And please join me every Tuesday night with your other amazing artists to share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. I love you guys. Have a great night. Is on my mind tonight. Every year that goes by, time makes it a little bit easier. But even as I wonder why, the memories won't go.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.